Joining me now to talk about the reaction to the president's speech and the reaction to the reaction of the president's speech last night is Maryland Congresswoman Donna Edwards. She represents the 4th District in Maryland. Congresswoman, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ryan. Great to be with you.
It's great to be. Ryan's my producer. I'm Derek.
But I'm sorry, Derek.
I won't hold you to. I can't imagine you listen to my show very much because it would upset you. But first of all, the president's speech last night, Congresswoman, there weren't a lot of new ideas in that speech. It was things that we'd heard before. The one thing we did hear that was new that stuck out to me was this MyRA, which is you can buy savings bonds and you'll get a guaranteed return. You won't have any risk. Those exist now. How does that help anybody?
Well, you know, the thing is, I'm actually on that. I'm frankly, like you and most Americans, I'm waiting to hear what the president has to say in more detail. What I can tell you is that we do need to incentivize greater savings, especially among working people. And so I'm looking forward to hearing what the president and Secretary Liu have to say about how we would, you know, put that together. I'll tell you what struck out for me, though, in the president's message last night. And you said there was nothing new. I think we're under this, you know, sort of misunderstanding that, you know, we always have to hear something new. I think it was actually helpful to hear some things that the president has said before, but the Congress hasn't done. And so we do need to raise the minimum wage in this country. I know Maryland is considering that now. I think we need to lead the nation to make sure that it happens for workers who are at the low wage end. The president talked about equal pay for equal work. I mean, even in Maryland, where women are faring better than they are in a lot of places in the country, we still only make 80 cents on the dollar. That means that families are deprived 20% of income. This isn't fair to women, and it's not fair to family. And 80% is not 100%. It's not equality. I think the president talked, talked about making sure that we could make investments in, you know, women as entrepreneurs, making sure that we provide for pre-K to high school education so that we get our children started in the right kind of way so that they can take advantages of jobs of the future. I loved that the president said we are going to really look at all of the job training programs that we do across the federal government and pull this together so that it's more effective and so that we're matching job training to jobs that are available. And so I heard a lot of good news in what the president said. I was very excited about it. And I'm looking forward to looking forward and to working forward, knowing that we've come out of this, you know, abyss of the last 5 years in the economy and that we're all moving forward.
Well, I want to take those issues one by one. And I'm going to be equally as hard on Kathy McMorris Rodgers with you because I thought her speech was devoid of any ideas either. But on the minimum wage, I get calls all the time. C4 gets calls all the time from small business owners who are paying $10 an hour already or $11 an hour that are going to be impacted because if somebody's making $11 an hour and you raise the minimum wage, they're already making 40% more than minimum wage. You raise the minimum wage to $10.10, that's going to have an upward pressure on those people making a little more than minimum wage will be now. What would your message be to them? Because there is, it's a domino effect. Once that first one falls, the other people are like, well, I'm making only 90 cents more than minimum wage now when I was making $4 more than minimum wage. I want to raise. I need a raise. There's upward pressure on it that small businesses, frankly, in the state of Maryland right now aren't doing all that well. They're working on very thin margins, and this is going to harm them. That's what I'm hearing. I'm not making this up. I'm hearing this from small business owners who call in.
See, you know, I'm sensitive to that because here's what I hear from small business owners is that we are doing it. And the reason that we're not competitive is because the big guys don't. And so all of these, you know, transnational companies that are paying their workers, you know, the right at minimum wage at $7.25 an hour, and the restaurant owners who are out there who are the entrepreneurs who have, you know, fewer than 50 employees, and they're paying their workers $10 an hour. You know what? They are not competitive because the other guys are doing the wrong thing. And so I say raise the wage base and make it competitive. And I think our small business owners, in fact, would be more competitive in this economy. And some of what I hear from them, and I love our small businesses because they are, a lot of them are totally doing the right thing. And we've got to look at these, you know, and I'll just call them out. I mean, the Darden restaurants, they own Olive Garden and all of these, you know, chain restaurants, and they're paying their workers, you know, $7.25 an hour. They're not really offering.
Well, they're also closing locations and teetering on bankruptcy, Congresswoman.
But our small businesses are actually doing the right thing. That's what I hear.
Well, that's the right thing according to you.
In order to be more competitive, I think that we've got to raise that wage base across the board. And you know what? You and I are paying for all of those workers when they make minimum wage or they make, you know, the tipped wage, which hasn't been raised in 20 years. $2.13 an hour hasn't been raised in 20 years, not pegged to inflation. Those workers are falling behind. And when they fall behind, guess what? They need food stamps that nobody wants to provide. They need heating assistance that no one wants to provide. They need housing assistance.
Well, they
that
also
no one
need to
provide.
Get a better job and educate themselves.
Oh, that
I mean, where's the responsibility on them?
If
it's the same person,
so
Congresswoman,
look,
making $2.13 an hour for 20 years, the problem is them.
60% of the people who work for minimum wage go to work every single day. They're working 35, 40 hours a week, and they're not making enough to come above the poverty line. That is wrong. You know it's wrong.
But 80% of them are children.
That's actually not true. 65% of them are adult women, and they're supporting their families.
65% of people in unemployment are adult women or on minimum wage?
Who are making tipped wages. Are adult women supporting themselves and their families. And so don't disparage the worker. Make the employer pay what they ought to so that workers don't have to receive all of these other benefits. And so you can, on one hand, say, we don't want to provide those benefits, but on the other hand, allow employers to get away with paying below poverty wages. It's simply not fair, and there's nothing that you can say that's actually going to convince me otherwise.
I'm not trying to convince you. I'm just saying you tell a small business employer who makes $50,000 a year that they have to pay $10,000 more in wages. That's a $10,000 cut to them.
No,
they're taking the risk.
Let's look at the research, okay? Because I like dealing in facts and data, and I hear these stories, but the fact is that every time the minimum wage has been raised, guess what? People have more income in their pockets. They have more money to go out to restaurants. They have more money to go to the stores and spend in the economy. It actually grows the economy. And so let's deal in facts. And that is an absolute fact. It's been researched over and over again. There's simply not a correlation between raising the minimum wage and a negative economic impact. And so we should stop, and you should stop telling people that, because it's just not true.
Well, you should tell the small business owners who call me and tell me that. But Congresswoman, if the idea of a minimum wage hike is harmless, and you will admit at least that the people
I didn't say it was harmless. I said that workers need to be paid above the poverty line and that it would have a positive economic impact.
But what do you tell a small business owner who can't afford it?
As I said before, really, when you really start doing the research on small business owners, your truly small business owners are actually rewarding their workers because they value them, they train them, they stay with their companies. It's some of these larger employers going across state lines that are actually undercutting the workforce by not paying a minimum wage that's above the poverty line.
Well, how much is it worth?
Look,
why not make it $100 an hour? I mean, if we can raise people out of poverty, if you raise it to 10-10, 10-10 becomes a new poverty line.
If you raise it to 10-10 and tie it to inflation so that the minimum wage actually goes up with inflation, what you do is you raise people above the poverty line. And when you add to that, when you couple that, the other things that the president has talked about, which means, you know, making sure that our workers have the skills that allow them to transition into the economy that's a 21st century economy. All of those things are about how we provide opportunity for the American people.
But
that's what I'm interested in.
That's the job of the education system, and that's where the education system is failing. But I want to ask you, you will admit that the people earning minimum wage, they're not minimum wage lifers. No one should be a minimum wage lifer, right?
There are some people in our economy who actually, you know, spend quite a lot of time at that low income scale. And so what happens is they fall farther and farther behind.
But not many people with educations and skills.
Because at $7.25 an hour, not pegged to inflation, it's like the minimum wage, you know, 10, 15 years ago. because it's not tied to inflation, and so it's remained in this economy. It's actually caused people to fall farther and farther behind.
But they're not the same people. Somebody making minimum wage 10 or 15 years ago is not still making minimum wage unless they're making horrible choices in their life.
The point is, you know what, I'm not going to make a judgment about people. I'm going to leave that to you, because I think that as somebody who's worked for minimum wage before...
I have too.
That's
63 jobs, Congresswoman.
...for tip wages before, I actually do understand that. As somebody who's paid wages before, I understand that. And so, you know what, I'm not going to disparage the worker. I want to know, why don't you put some onus on these employers who are, in my view, exploiting workers because they're making them work harder and longer for a lot less money that doesn't even bring above the poverty line? And why is it that you're okay with all the rest of us as taxpayers actually subsidizing a bad employer?
I'm not okay with that either, but
well,
I think that we set the bar far too low for government assistance.
Then if we raise the minimum wage, raise people above the poverty line, then you will not be providing...
Then the poverty line comes up, Congresswoman.
The heating assistance that you don't want, the rental assistance that you don't want.
There are families making $87,000 a year who I'm paying for their health insurance. I'm subsidizing their premiums. So, I mean, you're never going to raise the bar that high.
You're actually conflating arguments. And so we could have a whole discussion about health care, which we are not going to do right now. But I'm going to tell you this. A vast majority of the American public, Republicans and Democrats and independents, all believe that we need to raise the minimum wage. What I want to ask is, why are you an outlier?
Because I'm a free market capitalist and an independent thinker. But if you want to govern by polls,
I'm going to tell you something.
If you want to govern by polls,
we subsidize an awful lot of capitalism.
If you want to, I know we should cut it all out. But if you want to talk about polls and govern by that, I'm down with that. We can raise the minimum wage and we can repeal Obamacare, since the majority of Americans want that repealed.
Well, you know what?
Or do only some polls matter?
We're not going to repeal the health care, because every single day people are getting health care. They're getting coverage for themselves and their families, and they're making sure that they take care of themselves, that we've invested in preventive care, and that we lower, as we are doing and have been doing for the 4 years that the Affordable Care Act has been in place, where we're actually lowering the cost of health care in this country.
We are.
So I don't know how much more time you have, but I have to run. What do you have to do?
I have to take a break because we're waiting on traffic, but I'd love to have you come in. I used to be a health policy analyst in Washington, D.C. I'd love to have you come in and we can have this discussion, and the phone lines are lit up. So I'm sure that people would love to talk to you as well.
So all right.
We'd love to set something up and have you come in. Congresswoman Donna
Edwards,
by the way, I thought the Republican response was terrible. Vapid.
Well,
so,
which one?
The McMorris-Rogers one, the one that everybody saw. It was pointless. She didn't say anything. It was all platitudes. But that being said, I appreciate your time, Congresswoman. We'll get you in
here
at some point.
Thank you, too.